Founding director of the master's program here at Antioch, focused on environmental advocacy and organizing. And we train public interest advocates and grassroots organizers focused on three broad themes: environmental protection, corporate accountability, and social justice. And so I was very honored when CTEC asked me to moderate this particular panel, because focus on sort of the public and corporate policies on the prospects for creating sustainable agriculture here in New England, but also given CTEC's focus in the tropics. And probably it's not too strange for people in this room to think about the connections between New England and the tropics. But for some people, it seems like, why would those be linked? But in the modern corporate globalized economy, every part of the planet is linked to every other part. And then the questions of how to make those links actually serve people, the planet, and a sustainable and healthy food supplies are core questions. And it's not just a matter of consumers and producers. Consumers and producers are embedded in a matrix of incentives and disincentives based on structures of institutions and the policies that are in place. And so our panel today is going to focus on various aspects of the kinds of policy change that needs to be made to move forward towards our goals. We have a great panel of speakers today, or have four. They'll each have up to 20 minutes, and so they'll do some presentation, and then we can have brief Q&A if there's time within that 20 minutes, because we do want to get you to lunch eventually. But then after all four of them are done, we'll also have some time for some Q&A and discussion amongst ourselves. I am going to be a total dictator around time. So we'll see how well they resist the dictatorship. I just want to introduce the speakers we have today, and this will be in the order that they're speaking. First up, we're going to have Stephanie Demont. Stephanie is the New England field organizer for Oxfam America, and at Oxfam, she works on their fair trade team, Make Trade Fair, and she's also working on reforming the content of the 2007 Farm Bill currently in the U.S. Congress. Second, we'll hear from Abby Lindsay, who is currently pursuing her graduate degree at the Urban and Environmental Policy and Planning Department at Tufts University, and her focus is on sustainability in Latin America and international environmental policy. Then we'll have Nana Mensa, who is the Belize Country Director of Sustainable Harvest International, and he brings us both the perspective of an agronomist and an educator and an activist working in Central America. And lastly, we'll hear from an old acquaintance of mine, Brian Tokar, who is currently the director of the biotechnology project at the Institute for Social Ecology in Plainfield, Vermont. And he's also written four books on environmental politics, and I'm assuming the most recent one is Gene Traders. And the subtitle is appropriate for this topic: Biotechnology, World Trade, and the Globalization of Hunger. So I want to thank all our presenters today for taking time out of their busy schedules. And I want to thank you all for taking a whole day out, a rainy day out, to really think deeply about these questions and engage in the conversation that CTEC is trying to set up with this symposium. So thank you all very much. And Stephanie, if you can start.
Can you guys all see me okay sitting?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, like Steve said, my name is Stephanie Demons, and I am the New England field organizer for Oxfam. And right now, our main focus, what I've been working on for the past year, is our agriculture campaign, and with a push to reform the Farm Bill 2007. So what I'll be talking about today, I'll give you a little overview of Oxfam and what we do as an organization, and then I'll get into our agriculture campaign and what we are seeking to see in reform and how everyone in this room can be a part of that. But I'd like to get a sense a little bit of the audience just quickly, since a lot of times people don't see how they really fit into farm policy if they're not farmers per se. So if I could get a show of hands in the room of how many people in this room are farmers. people have been to a farm? How many people know someone that has been on food stamps or has been involved with the school lunch program? And how many people enjoy doing outdoor activities, hiking? Yay! And lastly, how many people have been swimming in a public river, lake, something like that? Great. Well, you guys will see in the presentation that although everyone in here isn't a farmer, I think there are a couple people that raise their hands, we all really have a say and a stake in our agriculture policy because it impacts all of us. But first off, let me tell you a little bit, I'm not very good with these things, of who Oxfam is. Oxfam is an international development and relief agency. And our mission or our goal is to find lasting solutions to hunger and poverty and overall social injustice. And Oxfam America, our headquarters are in Boston, but our reach is global. We are part of Oxfam International. There are 13 Oxfams around the world. So as it says up there, it's a confederation of 13 Oxfams. So that means we reach more than 4,000 people in over 100 countries, so on the ground. And what we're doing with the agriculture campaign that I'm focusing on, as I said, it's part of our larger campaign to make trade fair. And the problems that we're seeking to address with this campaign, as are stated up here, falling commodity prices because of this, people in developing countries are unable, people are unable to maintain their livelihoods or make a living. And we also address and work on unfair trade agreements or free trade agreements. And we work on folks in developing countries having lack of access to medicines for curable diseases. And then the main focus right now in this campaign is agricultural dumping. And what that means is the process of countries like the U.S. dumping subsidized commodities onto developing countries, and really the farmers there can't compete with these lower prices. So a lot of times when people think of Oxfam, we work on humanitarian issues, and we work on the ground funding grassroots organizations, and we also work on campaigns for change. And that's why are we working on a trade campaign? Well, that's part of what we do is we work to change the rules of trade that keep people living in poverty. And why? Because international trade does have the potential to reduce global poverty. But currently, it's the rigged rules and double standards that prevent poor people in developing countries from benefiting. And this is a statistic that if Africa were to increase its share of world exports by 1%, the resulting $90 billion generated would be three times what it receives right now from aid and debt relief. And obviously we want to make trade fair. And so as far as a trade campaign, how does agriculture come into this? Well, 75% of the world's poorest people do depend on agriculture for their livelihood. And of the world's poorest people, 1.2 billion people live on less than a dollar a day. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that statistic before. And also in the U.S., the rural poverty rate is 30% higher than in non-rural areas. And so I talked about our main focus right now is on dumping and subsidies. That's it. So let's break it down a little bit. What are subsidies and why do we focus on? Subsidies are huge amount, in the U.S., huge amounts of subsidies enable agribusiness from developed countries such as the U.S. and the EU to export commodities below the cost of production. And like I said, it's referred to as dumping by the WTO. And in the U.S., we can kind of get a sense of how are agricultural subsidies distributed in the U.S., who do they go to? So the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, is required by law to subsidize more than two dozen specified agricultural commodities. And some specific commodities, which I'm sure you all have heard of, are rice, corn, wheat, soy, and these commodities, these five commodities, receive a huge portion of these subsidies, almost 95%. And the U.S. spends an incredible amount of money subsidizing these commodities, over $16 billion in 2004.
Does that come from taxpayer dollars?
Yes. Does it? And these subsidies that are distributed mainly to commodities, it's based on production. And when did this start and what does it mean? Well, it started, this sort of subsidizing started during the Great Depression, that's when the first farm bill was formed. And obviously agriculture has changed quite drastically in the past 70 years. And in the U.S., when you think of farmers and you're thinking of New England, you're not thinking of a lot of farmers around here growing those specific commodities. And that's true for a lot of farmers in the U.S. Over 60% of farmers are not receiving these commodity subsidies. They don't qualify. And when we're talking about our tax dollars going to these subsidies, as you stated, the largest 3% of farms receive 30% of the commodity program support. So a few small number of farms are receiving the vast amount of these federal dollars. And that just is reinstated there. Smaller farms are getting less, larger farms are getting more. And so we're talking about U.S. agriculture policy, and as I posed those questions in the beginning, it's about poverty relief in developing countries, but it's also about farmers and issues in the U.S. as well. It's a multifaceted issue. So it has to deal with budget. It has to deal with conservation. Our current agriculture policy isn't putting enough money aside to reward environmental stewardship and land conservation. It's about poverty. It's about family farmers. It's about changing it to support rural America and the international implications, as I stated before, of our current agriculture policy are huge. So, what's the time? So I'm going to go through these different issues that are impacted by our policy pretty quickly. So the budget is pretty simple. We're spending billions of dollars on agriculture policy or on commodity subsidies that are benefiting very few. So some farm payments are a waste of money. It's abuse of the system. We could close loopholes, and it's not really doing its job that it was set out to do to help rural America, to help family farmers. And as everyone knows, we're in a big deficit, so this is a way that we could actually do something. And conservation, agriculture policy right now is not encouraging or promoting conservation. What it does is right now, with commodity subsidies, the more farmers produce, the more they're getting. So it encourages overproduction, fertilizers and pesticides, because you need to keep producing more. And it's not exactly responsible farming practices, as we know. And we talked about food stamps in the beginning. Food stamps and school lunches and the WIC program, the Women, Infant, and Children's program, that's part of the Farm Bill too. So there's conservation and nutrition, and there's the commodity subsidies. So this big pot of money is going to these different programs. So poverty, nutrition, and nutrition programs are competing over these resources. So as far as rural America right now, subsidies, it's shown that subsidies are actually associated with declining rural populations. So in some areas where you see that there are a large percentage of subsidies, people are actually moving out of those areas. And the international implications are really big. We just recently had a group of U.S. farmers go to West Africa to see how family farmers in the U.S. and in West Africa are really impacted together by our agriculture policy. And they went and visited cotton farmers in West Africa and saw that because of these commodity subsidies going to encouraging overproduction in the U.S., that the cotton farmers in West Africa really can't compete with these low prices, and they can't make a living. So there's good news. The prospect for reform, as I said in the beginning, the 2007 Farm Bill. The Farm Bill comes up every 5 years, and it's set to be reauthorized in 2007. So we can, as citizens, as farmers, as people in the U.S., do something about this policy to reform it, to better work for family farmers here and abroad. So quickly, I talked a little bit about what it is, but it is the law governing farm and food policy, and it expires every 5 years in the U.S. And it's not just about commodity programs, but it's also has impacts on trade, conservation, farm credit, food stamps, school lunches, the Women, Infant, and Children's Program. And I went over this a little bit too, but it did start during the Great Depression, and so obviously the U.S. is a little different now than it was then. And it was set out as a temporary solution to deal with an emergency. So some different changes that have happened in the Farm Bill through the years. Until 1996, supply management was part and parcel of farm programs. And the big challenge that we have right now with reform of our agriculture policy and the Farm Bill is to find a farm bill that will decrease trade distorting commodity subsidies, as Oxfam, this is our mission, and at the same time shift money from these commodity subsidies into programs that will help rural America, that will conserve land, that will benefit nutrition in the U.S. as well. So that's what we want to do. We want to see a recutting, if you will, of this pot of money. So what this can do, actually, is promote a socially and environmentally sustainable rural sector by shifting funds into conservation, rural development, and nutrition programs. And we can stop dumping these subsidized agricultural commodities, like cotton, as you said, rice, corn, onto developing country markets. And this will allow family farmers to, both here and abroad, to earn a fair price for their crops. I know talking to a lot of farmers in New England, for example, if you ask them, they've applied for specific conservation programs, and there's not enough money in those programs, so 3 out of 4 times they're denied what they applied for, and some people are just discouraged from applying because the money isn't there. And what you can do in this next year is really use your voice as a person concerned about agricultural policy here and abroad to affect change. So what you can do, what we're getting folks to do, and I have here today as well, is you can sign Oxfam's petition to make trade fair. We have a big noise petition, that's what it's called, and over 20 million people around the world have put their name down to show that they want to see fair trade rules, they want to see farmers be able to make a living. You can educate other people around you. You can talk to fellow students, community members, people at your place of worship, and let them know that everyone has a voice in reforming this policy. And now is, how much time left do we have before the election? Like a week and a half before the upcoming election? So politicians are listening to what voters have to say right now. I know agricultural policy isn't always their number one priority, especially now, but they have to listen to voters. So you can put it out there and ask them, you know, what are you going to do to help family farmers in New England if you're elected? And now is the time to take action and make your voice heard. And we have a lot of allies working. It's not just Oxfam, obviously, working for reform of the 2007 Farm Bill. There are lots of people working together to make this a reality. So student groups on campus are working together. Environmental and conservation groups are working to see more money in those conservation programs. There are faith-based groups working because they want to see poverty alleviated. And sustainable farming groups want to see a farm bill that promotes sustainable agriculture here in the U.S. And international organizations such as Oxfam and anti-poverty organizations. And for more information, you can check out those websites. And at the end, I can hand you out a comprehensive sheet on how to lobby for reform during the election season, and also a farm bill brochure that goes into more detail than I had the time to cover on all of the titles within the farm bill. Thank you.
So we have time for about 2 minutes of just sort of quick questions on this, and then, you know, after everybody's done, we'll have some time for more. But is there a clarifying question? Rosie, in the back.
I had a question about, I read something, I believe, on a website, Farmers Land Trust Alliance, about that there was some kind of federal program for encouraging sustainable practices. Mm-hmm. I think it was a Tufts University study of that.
As far as different programs that encourage sustainable agriculture?
Yeah,
there are definitely within, as I was talking about the different titles within the Farm Bill, conservation payments, for example. So there's the conservation payments to farmers that are using good environmental practices on their farm and are also setting aside land as conservation. So specifically the conservation, I think the study you're probably talking about is a conservation security program that is in the Farm Bill, and the conservation reserve program as well. And there are also programs that protect wildlife habitat as well. And so one key point is these programs need to be better funded in the next Farm Bill, and some of the money that goes into the commodity subsidies could be put into these programs that benefit more farmers.
Who will be the chair of the Ag Committee if the balance of power shifts to the House?
I think Peterson from, right now the chair of the House Ag Committee is Goodlatte, Representative Goodlatte.
But who would it be?
I think it would go to Colin Peterson from Minnesota.
Okay, at this point, we're going to have to put a bookmark into questions, but if people have them, they can remember them for after. And so next we'll hear from Abby Lindsay.